Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham. Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthew sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Nancy, cease and desisto. We love you guys.
Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much of crappens? Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello. And welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can also find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast, which had a very fun start this week, so go check that out. And here I am with my co-host and little bestie, Mr. Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Hi there, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. It's below deck day. It's always good day when it's below deck day. Ben.
I know. Ain't that the truth, right?
Sure is. We're going to be traveling a lot for this year of our little Crappens tour that just keeps going. We are going to start in Los Angeles for the 2020 Golden Crappies in a week or so. So go vote for the Golden Crappies. Those nominations have been posted for like a day, and there's already like thousands of votes.
9,000 votes already. And last year we had 11,000 over the course of a month and 9,000 in one day, which is amazing.
Yeah, we're very excited. So go vote if you haven't done that yet. It's shaping up to be a really fun show. It sold out, so thanks to everybody who bought tickets. We are psyched to see you over there. Right after the Crappies, we are going to be going to these cities, everybody. So listen for your city. Detroit, Columbus, Austin, Houston, Birmingham, New Orleans, Kansas City, or Lawrence fucking Kansas, if you will, Omaha, Nebraska, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, Oklahoma City, specifically, Asbury Park, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., San Fran, and Boston, Massachusetts. Get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. There's a schedule there. That's also the link to find voting for the Crappies. You can find a link to our Patreon, which is where you get bonuses, and Crappens On Demand videos, which are super fun. This week we're going to be doing Real Housewives of something, haven't decided yet, I think Jersey, and Vanderpump Rules premiere tomorrow.
Yeah.
So go check those out, everybody. And I think that's that for that, Ben. Plugging stuff.
I know. We got a big episode of Below Deck to discuss. So big that you know what I did, Ronnie? I got myself some coffee from Tiago. Talk about a throwback. Remember my Tiago coffee days?
Uh-oh, here comes crackhead.
Tiago's in my old apartment, it was like the local coffee shop. It had just like Jet Fuel in a cup. And I got some Jet Fuel in a cup today for Below Deck. And I'm really excited. Obviously, we were off last week, so we didn't recap last week's episode. For me, I think the highlight was that Madison from Gwyn's on Southern Charm is one of the charter guests, and she would not eat a cheese pizza, and the pizza had to be sent back like 3 times. It's like, does this have cheese on it? I was like, wow, Madison revealing a whole other side to herself once she's on a yacht.
Yeah, I actually, that's funny that you even remember that. I mean, I know it was just last week and I should remember it, but Madison makes about as much impact on this show as she does on that show. Like, yeah. Wow, thanks for coming by, Madison. You paid for this. Like, say something. Do something.
She also managed to like source like all of South Carolina's bronzer for this vacation. I mean, like, she is just like, she looks like a piece of wood. She has so much bronzer on right now. And I mean, like,
yeah, a lot of contouring.
Yeah, she just is like out of control right now. I'm like, those poor fish when she jumps in the water, you know, like how, like, I mean, it's bad enough that they have yacht fuel that's just like spewing out into their homes. But now they've got like Madison bronzer too.
I know all the fish people catch are going to be, you know, covered. It's going to look like an oil sludge or whatever. Like the BP just exploded again.
The other thing that was really funny from last week, which I had completely forgotten about, because by the way, I should mention that I watched this episode at 2 a.m. on New Year's Day, as in it was New Year's Eve, partied, got drunk. There were some people that were over here in this apartment. And then basically at 2 or 3 in the morning, we turned on Below Deck and watched it drunk. So that's why I don't remember a lot of it. But one of the things that, yeah, I know. I was like, Smash Ben is out and can't be held accountable for his TV watching. But one of the things that I had totally forgotten about until this episode was that there was this girl, what's her name again? Jamie, who is like got this little like Shannon Bedore on volleyball day hat from 2 seasons ago, and she will not share her bed, and everyone hates her. Like, everyone on the boat hates her, and I forgot about that, and I was like, oh, I forgot that there's someone that everyone hates. This is the best.
Yeah, she is very sad Amy from Gallery Girls.
Yeah, she is. That's exactly who she is.
Actually, I have, this is from our friend Gina Ragusa over at Showbiz Cheat Sheet. She writes a bunch of Bravo stuff, and actually it's written by Jamie, because Jamie is Jamie, and she wrote her own post, and I'm
really
trying to find it here. I mean, she didn't write it for Gina Ragusa. Gina's just reporting on her post that she made, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So where is this here? Cameras follow Below Deck fans. Below Deck guest explains what really happened with the room arrangements.
Dun, dun, dun. So Jamie speaks.
Yeah, so on the last episode, this awful girl, Jamie, is like, I was told I was getting my own room, and I'm getting my own room. And one of the other ladies on the boat was like, I guess I'll sleep on the couch in the Sky Lounge. Like, that's fine, I guess. And she's like, yeah. Good. So Jamie takes her own room, and this poor girl has to sleep on the couch. And Captain Lee was like, well, that is bullshit. I will take the couch instead.
Yeah.
Because chivalry is not dead just because it's season 7 of Below Deck. Right?
Right. Yeah, so basically they have to clean out all of Captain Lee's room and move him into the Sky Lounge. That way this other girl can sleep in the Sky Lounge. And Captain Lee's like, well, this dipshit doesn't mean, you know, everyone has to move because this dipshit.
Yeah,
you know?
So she went on Twitter and she said, this is Jamie, right? Stone. Stone says she had only met Taylor. Oh, God, who's Stone
Jamie
and
Stone,
who's
maybe?
Taylor? Jamie Stone, Stones. I'm sorry, guys.
I don't know.
I thought this was going to be, oh, Jamie is Stone.
Sharon Stone.
Jamie Stone.
Sharon Stone was on Below Deck.
She showed her beaver shot in the very beginning of Basic Instinct.
And they brought a Komodo dragon, and it bit her husband all over again.
So Jamie shared on Twitter that she had only met Taylor and most of the group on the vacation, because that's how it rolls. None of them really knew each other, so they all paid separately, I guess, and got grouped in by casting to go on this thing. Right?
I thought that she was the cousin of the primary. Maybe not.
Well, she said that she had only met Taylor right now, most of the group. And she said, okay. I think it's great that some people can instantly feel comfortable with others in what is meant to be a safe place, such as the place you sleep at night. But I have boundaries. And whereas I'm sure Lauren is a great person, I met her literally right before we got on the boat. And it takes me time to get to know someone I feel comfortable with. And to attack my personal sense of safety and comfort feels unfair to me, especially after seeing maybe 10 minutes of me on a reality TV show. I had a good time on the show. And bravo on the producers.
voluntarily offered me my own room weeks ahead of the charter.
I like how she is slowly turning into Cartman in your impersonation of her, because that's sort of how she is.
Yeah, horrible people turn into Cartman. You know, it's like Tamara Barney.
I mean, I get it. If you're paying money to have your own room, I would also not really want to share it. Yeah, it's sort of a dick thing to do. Definitely a dick thing to do, though, to make someone just sleep on a couch. If they also paid for a bed, I mean, I don't know where you draw the line. Was everyone else sharing a bed? Is that the deal? And
supposedly
Jamie was the only one who wasn't?
Yeah, well, I think the other girl was saying that they were given a layout of the boat and there were more bedrooms in this layout that they all received. But one of the bedrooms is used for crew because the crew, you know, they have like a camera room where the producers are sitting there watching all this footage unfold and working their asses off. So it's not a bedroom. And so I guess they just figured they'd have a bedroom, or was this cooked up by production so that there would be a fight over it. But either way, Jamie's like, I get that not wanting to share a room, but if you're the one who's refusing to share a room, then you should sleep on the couch.
That's really good point. That's a really good point, actually. And you know what? I think that's the answer, that she should have been on the couch then. If she's not going
to
share.
Say that.
No, that's a great point. That's what it's like. Okay, you want your own bed? Then you get your own bed. Be careful what you wish for, bitch.
Get Ray's, your own Ray. Couch.
Rude. Ray is the captain now. Captain Ray.
Have you charities for poor people?
You know, the other thing, I mean, there was actually a lot of hilarious stuff going on with this charter, and I'm sad that they were such a short charter, because I would have loved to have had this crew stuck with them for like 2 or 3 days. But there's a girl on the charter who sort of looks like what's her name? The Glee girl?
Michelle. Oh, Lea Michele. Good call.
So she's like a little Lea Michele with a touch of Naomi. Which makes sense because she's from Charleston. Imagine if it's like Naomi's sister or something. But she's a professional chef. And so basically the first night, Kevin serves this group matzo ball soup. And then there's like that pizza situation, because the primary was like, I really like matzo ball soup. So everyone's like, this is like sort of basic food. So Lea Michele is like, chef to chef, I'm just going to like tell him to make it more upscale. So she goes and she tells Kevin, she's like, hey, I'm a chef. And you know what? Chef to chef, like maybe like be a little more upscale tonight. And I understand why it chafed him the wrong way. But at the same time, she's still a guest. And he was so obnoxious about it. And that's pretty much where the episode picks up. It's like her saying,
he was such an asshole about it. God, this guy, the men on this show, just, I'm so done with the men. Just make an end.
Yeah, they are just,
stop.
They are so, so awful. Yeah, she goes, chef to chef, you should probably go more upscale tonight, which again, yeah, it is sort of an obnoxious thing to say, but I think she was just trying to be like, listen, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I'm telling you, everyone wants something more upscale, so rather than like this have be an issue where you'll get in trouble with your boss, I'm giving you a heads up right now, you know?
Yeah, and he was so mean to her. And I don't think she was really trying to help. I think she was being a snot face too. Like, oh, I'm a chef. And I did her up, because he was like, oh yeah, I bet you flip burgers and take pictures of them on Instagram, honey, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I looked it up on Instagram, and she went to culinary school. And she doesn't have any restaurant experience or anything like that, but still you're right. She's a guest, and you don't talk to guests that way. Like, what a prick.
And whether you're a chef or not a chef, if someone says like people who are not chefs are allowed to demand more upscale food on the yacht, you know, like, or like, it's like, it's not only which then that cuts both ways. Like her being like chef to chef, like it doesn't, who cares if it's chef to chef? You say, hey, can we get something more upscale tonight? Like that was fun last night, but we want something more upscale. You know, so like she could have been like that, but also for him to be like, she thinks she's a chef. She just flips burgers and takes pictures of it. Excuse me, sir. You think we didn't like sit and you think we didn't sit and watch a scene of you taking pictures of your own food?
Yeah. Yes. And you don't make upscale food most of the time. Like, let's face it. You sent out burnt pancakes later in this episode, which I'm sure you noticed, Ben. And I was like, really, you're going to send out like black pancakes right now on this episode?
Yeah. And so he's like really mad, and he's like, hey, wait. So she says, I mean, people are like talking about your cooking behind your back. So and Kevin's like, well, Nicole was super happy, but everyone was like, we're having pizza. Oh, I guess, I'm sorry. She said Nick, the primary was happy, but everyone else was kind of like, it's pizza and matzo ball soup. We didn't pay $10,000 each for pizza and matzo ball soup. And honestly, I would kind of agree.
Yeah. And he's like, well, as long as it's fine with the primary, I'm a deployee of the boat. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And she's like, yeah, and I'm looking out for you. And he's like, yeah, but I don't need looking after because I'm an employee of the boat. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? And then he does this just like open mouth, like bunny toothed, just like a dumb bunny, like a dumbfounded bunny.
A dumb bunny. The one from Watership Down that everyone wants to get caught. Like, can we kick him out of the barrel, please?
Yeah, he does that for the rest of the episode. And she goes, oh, okay. Yeah, then, yeah. Okay. And he goes, okay, cool then. All right, then, cool then.
And he also does a thing with his hands, too. He, like, flops out his hands in a way to be like, I have no pennies in my pockets or in my hands. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The dumb, penniless bunny.
Bunny. Dumbfounded bunny. Penny's dumbfounded bunny face. So he's like, chef to chef, just thinking of fuck herself.
You know what, sir? Relax, okay? Relax, because that is, by the way, that is a guess, and like you giving her attitude could fuck up the tip for everyone.
Yeah, this guy's a total ass.
Because so guess then, what she does? She just goes back to all the other guests and is like, oh my god, I told him, and he was like really annoyed, and they're all like laughing at him behind his back, and they're like, the chef, you know?
Yeah, and she's like, I was just saying that I'm all upscale. It's like, yeah, you're obnoxious too, but God, you're only getting off on this one because he's more obnoxious than you. But you're still obnoxious, ma'am.
It's true. It's true. Very important point that I hope everyone really listened to. She is still obnoxious, but she's getting off because he's more obnoxious. So then, I don't even know why I wrote this down. Like, literally nothing happened. There was a shot of Courtney
doing dishes.
Little white dishes. I wrote it down also. She doesn't even say a word. Nothing happened. It's just, like, a quick shot of Courtney washing little square dishes. Mm. And I was like, I could just imagine what was going on in her head at that moment. Like, who wants small square dishes? Like, these are so stupid. Like, what, like, if you do a saucer, it should be circular, not square.
Yeah. I was cracking up that I wrote that down, too. I was like, get a life. So then the deck crew is talking on the stairs, and Ashton's like, well, they're just basically planning a beach picnic. There's a lot of that in this episode, particularly this episode. Like, now it looks like they're doing something. They're getting on the tender, and they're on the beach. And now they're back on the tender. And then they're cleaning, and then they're doing a dish. Why am I writing all of
Lisa
this down?
Vanderpump, like, director's commentary. So now Kevin's making sushi, and then he's, like, complaining to Courtney about what Justine said, and he's like, I mean, he just thinks she is, you know, shift to shift, shift to shift, and Courtney just looks at him and goes, you're really spiraling.
And he tells us, well, I put all the blame is a bit of me, and I'll take it personal. This overprivileged kid doesn't know where I come from or how hard I work, Daddy. She can fuck off, ta-ta.
I made it special for you, Daddy. I thought I was being upskilled for you, Daddy.
I love this bitter fucking chef who hates privileged people when he works on yachts.
I know, that's what I'm saying. She's a privileged kid. Get off the yacht. Who do you think you're gonna work? Who do you think you're gonna be working for? Okay. And by the way, she doesn't have to know where you came from. She doesn't know where I've come from, what I've done. She doesn't have to. She's a guest. She paid money, okay?
Yeah.
So where you came from is serving up some fucking like uni with caviar on top of a rare clam, sir.
Yeah, like every sad story of underprivileged, you know, abused youth ends with making matzo ball soup that everybody just loves because your dad was mean to you once.
I know that's the best part was him when he was saying that because he puts a little bit of himself in every plate, and so for someone to reject that, he takes it very personally. It's like I love just like how his like family trauma just seeps out in every corner of his career. Like when you were joking about the daddy thing, that was the very first thing I thought of when he said that. It was like daddy rejecting him as a kid. Yeah, no, Baker, you're gonna be a line chef, Kevin. You're not good enough to be on the Titanic, even if it did make it back to port.
Now you know why we call you Iceberg Kid.
Hey, make another matzo ball, iceberg. Hey, look at iceberg's matzo ball. More like a matzo peg. Why'd you make it peg-shaped, iceberg?
So he's asking Courtney, he's like, do you think they like cream cheese to their sushi? She goes, no dairy. And he's like, fuck these people.
Fuck these people, daddy. Daddy doesn't like dairy. Daddy doesn't like dairy. Daddy doesn't like dairy.
Mm-mm, by the way, best sushi in the world has cream cheese in it. I mean,
the best food in the world that's cream cheese in it. Okay, let's not limit it to sushi. Like, literally, like, I would take it all back. I would be on Kevin's side if you served like a little side of cream cheese with that matzo ball soup. I'd be like, Justine, you take a seat. Okay, he gave you cream cheese.
Yeah, sit down, Charleston.
Yeah, sit down, Charleston. Go take it to Nico.
So then the running through line of this episode is that Simone has really improved because she's passing out waters to people constantly.
I know. I was like, look at Simone. Wow, she's giving waters. Oh, well, she put that water on someone's shoulder. So she's getting close. She's getting better.
She just put cream cheese on a bottle of water. All right, now
Simone, that's not a bagel. That is actually Justine's sunglasses. You should probably clean off that schmear of Philadelphia you put on it.
So she's passing waters, and she's like, everyone else good? And one of the guys goes, she is incredible.
Simone. So the guests are happy. And then meanwhile, Kate, one thing that also happened last week. So last week, Riley, after like a season and a half, finally gets to take guests fishing, okay? And Ashton is like, I'm going to let you do this one, Riley. So she they go out on a boat together, and they find an area that looks good, and they try to fish there, but it's actually a protected area where you're not allowed to fish. And so then they just sort of, either they run out of time or they go somewhere else, but there's no fishing, and ultimately they have to go back empty-handed. And so Ashton obnoxiously goes up to Captain Lee, because also what's happening is that now that the deckhands are talking about that they'd be willing to go into the last two charters without Riley, like a man down. So Ashton goes up to Captain Lee while Kate is there in the wheelhouse and is like, Captain Lee, I just want to let you know that, you know, Riley took everyone fishing, but she didn't do the research and it was an illegal place. And like, just, I think it would be better if she did some research in the future. You know, she's not that good. She sucks. She's terrible. It was like such a really petty move.
Yeah.
And so now Kate goes and tells Riley about everything that happened.
Yeah, it's such a little tattletale move. And Kate's just sitting there listening to the whole thing. Like, how stupid are you, Ashton? You know, like, come on.
That's like her bunk bed mate. And even though, I mean, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Like, I do sort of agree that it probably is poor form for, like, you know, if there's a conversation between the captain and two department heads, it's like, it's sort of poor form for Kate to go tell someone in Ashton's department about what he said in sort of a privileged sort of meeting space. At the same time, it's kind of like, but Ashton, you have like turned into a huge fucker the second half of the season. So,
well, if
sorry.
Ashton hadn't been trying to like fuck his deckhand and, you know, beat up another one in a car, both women. I probably would worry more about the professionalism of that, but
kind of gone out the window. The broken window that was destroyed by his fist.
Yeah. And also, you know, I think Kate has a point. Well, I think the reason that she's doing this is because he's obviously, all the boys are just anti-Riley for whatever reason, and they're trying to get rid of her. And it's like, how long did the boys get to treat the girls like shit, right?
Yeah, I
and
think
so
at some point,
like, professionalism, you know, if I don't do anything, then if I do something in front of the captain, it's going to look like I'm starting a fight with Ashton. You know, if I say something to Ashton, he's going to just treat me like an idiot and ignore me. And Riley has a right to know that she's about to be made a fool of on national television because she's my friend, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also, like, at a certain point, professionalism maybe sometimes takes a back seat. Like, or I should say professional sort of like, not professionalism, but sort of like professional channels takes a back seat to just like human compassion to be like, he's trying to fuck you out of a job, right? And like, I'm looking out for you because these guys have like a boys club.
Right. And, of course, it's self-interest, too, because Kate's doing this because she hates Ashton.
So, yeah. And then there's that. And then it's also that she's Kate.
Yeah. So then the captain is in the kitchen. He's like, I gave up my room. And Courtney's like, I cannot believe that girl. Also, tiny square plates. Like, he's like, well, I don't blame her. That's the attitude of a spoiled brat. You know, if I was the primary, she would have taken what she got and her gotten the fuck off my goddamn no babysitting club boat.
And then they cut to this Jamie girl and they're like, everyone's like out on the deck and they're having fun. And she's just like sort of sitting in the shadows with her little hat and just like overheating quietly in the corner.
Yeah.
like a little robot that's like, you know, needs to be tended to.
Yeah. And then it cuts back to the captain going, what a see you next Tuesday. And I was like, that is offensive as hell. They're called cut fitnesses.
I didn't hear him say that. Yeah. I missed that.
He says,
wow.
See you next Tuesday. I was like, whoa. And Courtney just cracks up. And I was like, wow, that's.
So meanwhile, Brian and Riley are up on the deck once again, like recreating a scene from an Edward Albee play where she's like, so like, how do I unfurl this? And he's like, the same as always. She goes, well, I wasn't up here when you set it up. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ. So once again, they get into a fight over like how to like take a zip, like unzip something or unlatch something or untie something. As
it's
usual.
An attitude. It's an attitude. I just don't understand why it's going to be like that. It's an attitude. That whole how do I help you thing. What a bitch. And so then they keep working. And she's like, what can I do to help you? And they just ignore her. And I was like, God, what a horrible monster Riley is trying to help you lower a pool into the sea.
I know. Got it. Got it. I swear to God, every time I see got it, like, it's on every notification. I never realize how it's on so many notifications, but like it always says got it everywhere. Got everything it. On Google. And whenever we do a cameo, whenever we finish it, it goes, got it. I'm like, geez, Riley, I didn't know you were standing there.
I like how everybody starts changing their thing because they don't want to sound like the other things. Like Siri, she doesn't say got it, but she doesn't want to be like Alexa anymore. So when you go, hey, Siri, she goes, mm-hmm.
No. Did we interrupt Siri while she was like eating a piece of tuna fish? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. so weird because it used to bleep bleep like Alexa would do, but now she's like, mm-hmm.
Wait, let me see if I can do it. Let's do it live on the air. Let's do it. Okay, hold on.
Hey, Siri.
Siri?
I'm not sure I understand.
Did you hear?
Oh, there. Yeah, I heard that. Mine was like, I don't understand. Mine was just pretending like.
Could you say it again, please?
Hey, Siri.
Hi there. How can I help?
You need to update your phone.
Okay. Siri, why don't you say mm-hmm the way Ronnie's Siri does?
I don't understand. Siri, why don't you sitting on the way Rennie Siri does?
No.
But I could search the web.
Siri thought I actually mentioned Real Housewives of New York. That was her text. She goes, Siri, why don't you Rennie? I was like, oh gosh.
Hey, Siri.
My Siri.
Oh, she didn't do it this time. Hey, Siri.
Yes?
You bitch.
I won't respond to that.
Hey, Siri, get it?
You're easy to get.
Oh, excuse me. I was hoping she go, got it. Okay, you know what,
we're
Siri?
We're having a huge Siri fail day. Yeah, re-update Apple. Re-update.
I want a Riley. I want a digital system like Riley. Hey, Riley, what? Can you tell me what time Uncut Gems is playing? How do I do that? Can you just look up the show times? If you show me.
Thank you, Riley. Got it. Got it.
just look at the directory. Oh, I'm supposed to look at the directory? How about you show me how to look at the directory? It's right there. Oh, it's right there. It's right there. Okay. You know what? How about you go look and see what's right there if it's that easy, okay? Got it. Got it. Got it.
Hey Riley.
What?
Why did you take me to the wrong location in the maps? How was I supposed to know?
Hey, Riley, what restaurants are open right now? Do you want a paleo restaurant? No, I just like a Chinese restaurant. Oh, I just want to get a paleo option, though. No, I know you do, but I'm looking for Chinese. So suddenly I can't ask for a paleo restaurant? Riley, you're the digital. You can't even eat. You're like not even a real person. Oh, I'm not a real person? What's that supposed to mean?
It's the way of the vibe of the vote. It's the way of the vibe of the vote. I've been repeating that all day. The way of the vibe of the boat. Okay. Point is, we're on a boat right now. Okay.
Point is, there's a girl in the shadows with a big hat who's unhappy and sitting cross-legged.
So Ashton is talking to, Ashton passes Kate or something, and she's like, I don't hate Ashton. I just don't respect him. I've never had a bosun try to punch out a window in a fit of anger and rage, but if I didn't do the job every time I didn't like someone, I'd be unemployed.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. So now they're like prepping for the beach picnic, and then beach prep, and things going to the beach and things coming back, and then there's the tender and everything, and tents are going up and the table's being set, and then Madison is jumping into the ocean and spreading bronzer onto all the cute little starfish and jellyfish and anglerfish out there, and it's fun.
Yeah. So Kevin's like, someone asked where Kate is. Was it Kevin who asked? Did he say, where's Kate, boo-boo? Oh, he was saying, where's Kate, boo-boo? I think talking to Courtney. I thought he was calling Kate boo-boo, and I was like, wait a minute. What is going on here?
And Courtney's like, please don't talk to me. I'm still trying to process the fact that we have tiny square plates. Tiny square plates. Just really, really doesn't make sense. Not
so
that kind
she's
of...
like, well, Kate is setting up at the beach, and then Simone's going to go over there and meet her with food, and Simone's like, am I? Okay. You know,
she's like, Kate is really disorganized. She's just very, very disorganized. And then she like falls down the stairs with the cream cheese.
She starts ironing a shirt with a bottle of water.
She's ironing the cream cheese with her elbow. Simone, did you iron cream cheese onto the captain's outfit again? Mm. Yes, I did. I thought it looked nice. Okay, all right.
So then we get a scene of Simone passing out water again. Ooh, wow. So then The guests are on the tender, and they're like, Captain, we're going to be back soon. You going to join us for dinner? He's like, God damn it, yeah. I hope you have a TV tray because I'm sleeping on a goddamn couch.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
And then they get on the boat, and then some of the girls, like the Molly is like a model, supposedly, I guess for Gwen's maybe. And so she is like, she goes and sits next to Ashton, and Ashton's like, oh, Molly is an absolute cracker. She's a total cracker. I was like, I think cracker for you means something different than for Americans.
She's a real cracker. I'm not going to cross that line, but brush the line. I'm going to brush that cracker. Like,
I'm gonna go right up to that line, and I'm gonna try to kiss it, and then I'm gonna try to punch it.
Damn, blurred. You want to talk about blurred lines, cracker? So then on the beach, he's like, beach lunch, salmon, tuna, vegetarian. Hope you all die. Enjoy. So,
Justine
was sleeping on the couch or whatever.
Oh, no, James.
She's like, No, Jamie's the horrible one. This is the girl who agreed to sleep on the couch at first.
Yeah.
She's like, no one remembers her name. Sorry, lady. And I just read it in a story, too. That's terrible.
Let's call her Shailene.
Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, Shailene Woodley.
Could you tell me a small, tiny lie? How about that? Instead of a big, little lie. How about a small, huge lie?
How about a small lie that's not in the shape of a square? I mean, really, who needs small square things?
So that girl, she's like, wow, the chef is so good. I wonder where he studied. What do you think, Justine? And they just start cracking up.
Yeah, Justine's like, I don't know. I had a very short conversation with him. I think I scared him away.
So then Brian and Ashton are talking about Riley. And Brian's like, she just doesn't listen, Brew. She just doesn't listen. She doesn't listen, Brew. You should have seen her try to put down a pool into the water when I was doing it, Brew.
Yeah, and Ashton's like, yeah, there's such a cool vibe between you, me, and Tana, Brew. It's such a cool vibe. I'm like, oh, like, you realize you are literally being a boys' club right now. Like, like you're doing the definition of it.
Yeah. He's like, girls are gross, Brew. So then Riley is talking to Courtney in the mess, and she's like, I had an aggravating day. It's like, Tiny plate, small tiny square plates.
Oh, did you have to wash tiny square plates also?
It's like, I'm supposed to know it's illegal to fish in those waters. And Courtney's like, who is giving you that trouble? And she goes, my crew. And then they cut back to Brian like, she's always saying things to me, bro. Like, you're not my person.
Yeah, you know, it's draining to have to keep the peace. And now it's bothering the crew. I mean, something has to change. Or I have to fuck someone. Otherwise, someone's going to get fired.
Why do I have to work so hard to get my dick sucked? Yeah. So then Ashton is back with the guests and he's like, everyone, you want a snorkel? And they're like, not really. Do you want to contour my face with some heavy bronzer? I'm trying to turn into my own presidential bust, so it'd be great.
President Gwynn's, that is. I'm taking over for daddy. So, and I've left the store in the hands of Catherine Dennis, my number one employee. It's like, cut to like career opportunities part two with Catherine locked in Gwynn's overnight.
Where is this episode even going?
It makes sense. It all makes sense. It's all tied together. We've made references to.
Did that mannequin just say
Wait, now we're going into mannequin?
Oh, yeah.
Mannequin,
sorry.
And career opportunities all mixed together. Because we can build this thing together.
Mm. Oh, my God. Did that mannequin come to life? No, I was just going to the bathroom when they closed the doors, and now I don't know how to get out.
Is that Messiah Taylor? It is, but that's just because he happens to be a shopper at Gwynn's.
Oh,
nothing more.
R.I.P. Messiah.
Did he die?
Didn't he? Oh, okay, God, well, did he? Did I just kill Messiah Taylor on
Wait,
the show?
Wait, this is when we call up our digital assistant. How old is Messiah Taylor? It said Muzak Taylor.
I found this on the web.
No, not Muzak. Okay. Right, never mind. James, this is going to be beyond. This is beyond Siri, and whoever's calling me right now.
Yeah, he passed away in 2014. I thought so. I remembered crying, but you know, I remember things weird.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Poor guy. Loved you, Hollywood.
Oh.
Okay, so let's see here. What are we doing, Kevin? Okay, I thought he put tuna on a stick, and I was horrified. But it was watermelon. It was frozen watermelon.
Watermelon. Yeah, he put watermelon on a stick and everyone likes. It's very refreshing. The beach party was a success. And then there's like a shot of Tanner trying to kill a fly. He's like, almost got it. Almost got it.
Welcome to the rest
almost
of Tanner's
fucked it
life.
That time. Almost got it.
Got my dick wet with it. So Kevin's writing food down, and Courtney's like, what's for dinner? And he's like, ceviche. I don't know what the guy wants, you know, and the chef to chef. I mean, no cooking on Teflon pans. Just let it go, Kevin. He's trying to let it go. The woman is smiling. The woman is smiling. That's fucking obnoxious. I'm so glad the season is almost done so we can get Kevin the fuck off of the screen.
I know. That's how bad Kevin is, that these people have requested no cooking on Teflon pans and we're still on their side. I mean, that's bad. That's bad. Because we should be mocking them to holy hell.
Totally.
Daddy doesn't like Teflon either.
Daddy. I was about to say, Daddy is getting dressed by the guests. So the guests are addressing Ashton. Because they're going to be models. And I was like, well, I guess if those girls can be models, so can Ashton. So they're,
I was like, can't wait for this penny saver spread to come out.
Yeah, this high fashion model game.
I know. Oh, can't wait for this flyer to be scattered across the Las Vegas Boulevard sidewalks.
How dare you? Those people work very hard.
Well, be the people in the flyers.
Yeah, that's a very tough industry. You know, porn, everyone's like, oh, just do some porn, whatever.
That's
you
true.
Idiot.
That is more
porn is like really competitive.
I didn't mean that they look like porn stars. I was just saying.
No, I know.
I was just trying to, on the seat of my pants, come up with something as low level as the penny saver. But it turns out, beyond the fearless flyer, there's really nothing else.
Well, look, could you tell I talked to a porn star like one time? I'm like, wow, what a competitive industry, guys. It's really hard out there. Literally.
Literally. Literally. I mean, look at David from Below Deck season one. He's not even in the industry anymore because he got phased out.
Oh, bless his heart. So the captain is in the background of the caftan. Patricia's back there too. We've already put Catherine in this show. Patricia's in the back too. Like, I know that girl from somewhere. Is it Abraham Lincoln? No.
Someone tell Iceberg I'd like another martini, please. I knew his father. We all called him Iceberg back in the day. So good to see him.
His great worked for me.
Hey, Iceberg, I'd like some olives. Cheat sweet. Watch him give me some chocolate chip cookies. Classic Iceberg.
They thought he was named Iceberg because of his terrible failures leading to his great-grandfather's death on the Titanic, but he's really just named after poor people lettuce.
Leave it to someone named Iceberg. When you ask him for a wedge, he said that you would butter lettuce. Classic Iceberg.
So Ashton is doing this model shoot, and the captain is in the wheelhouse just watching him while he's twirling his radio around, like, look at that. God damn it. Look at those goddamn models. I was like, what the hell kind of model shoot is this? It's people trying to pretend they're like in a Guess Jeans ad with the captain's face behind them going,
I know. Yeah, what is this being shot for? I mean, and then Ashton's in the middle, his shirt's sort of open, and so he's in the middle of these two girls, and he's like, this Ashton sandwich is going to have some good flavor to it. I'm like, it's going to be like mayonnaise with mayonnaise on Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
It's actually almost too flavorful.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that's one of my Meemaw's favorite things. Mayonnaise on white bread.
As soon as I started to say it, I was like, how can I roll that one back? It's, you know what it is? It's a turkey sandwich. Turkey sandwich with no mayo on white bread.
You're
there.
A real turkey kid.
And it's not any sort of like honey glazed turkey. It's just like low sodium turkey.
Yeah, it's like that gelatinous, low-sodium, healthy choice turkey.
That's what it is. Turkey.
So here's my extensive note on this scene. Girls model like idiots. That's what I put. And then Ashton says, these girls are just, like, fun.
Yeah. You'd expect them, because they're models, to be stuck up. But these are actually the kind of girls, type of girls I could mix with and can actually have something with. I'm like,
Yeah.
until you get drunk and try to punch a window.
Yeah, that means you think he can get a BJ out of them. And then the guy is like, okay, guys, make out now. And I was like, be careful what you say on this boat. Just be careful.
So downstairs, Courtney is struggling with the ironing board again. And, like, Brian walks by, and she goes, wee. And he, like, comes by, and she's like, kiss? Thank you.
She fell for it. There it happens.
She has.
You know? That's just what always happens when you're like, I'm not going to just give in to the hot guy just because he's hot. I'm going to make him work for it for a little while because I'm not just some easy guy. The second you give in to them, they're like, I'm cheating on you.
I know. Wait for next week, Courtney.
Yeah.
She's like, everything's great. I've finally started to like Brian. I've learned to appreciate ironing after that small dish fiasco. And life is good.
I believe in love again.
I believe in a thing called love. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. That's all.
So Riley and Kate are in their cabin, and Kate's doing her hair on the toilet, which you have to probably, but it's just really funny. And so Riley's like, oh, God, I don't want to lash out. And Kate goes, don't take everything so personal, Riley.
Riley goes, I take that personally, Kate.
Kate makes a good point, I think. She's like, it's like they want to have a girl that sucks because, like, Abby was so bad at her job, but they were so nice to her. Like,
because she was like, cool. And she didn't like speak up, you know?
Yeah. And because Ashton totally wanted to fuck her, and so did one of the other guys. Who was the other guy who was after her too?
I think Brian originally.
Yeah,
I think Brian and Ashton both like were leering. They were both going after Courtney, and they were both going after Abby. I think because I think Tanner had his eyes on Kate originally.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So Kate's like, well, you know, she has a temper, but she's very good at her job. So, she's like, yeah, I could use her as a stew. You know, she'd be better than Simone.
Oh my God, Riley as a stew would be amazing. I just have visions of her like throwing down plates on the table. Yeah, it's salmon. Eat it.
So the captain is in his room looking for a belt through all the little shopping bags that his clothes are in, and he is just in the worst mood.
He's so unhappy.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, so they're all ready for dinner, and like the only one who's not there is Jamie, who's still in her room, but everyone's too scared to knock on the room because they all hate her and they're scared of her. So they like ask, they basically ask Courtney to do it. They're like, can you knock on her door and just like tell her it's dinner, you know? And Courtney has never been happier. She's like, I do love the guest drama. Like, they all hate her. Like, what is pettier than not sharing a guest bed and making them sleep in the communal guest space? Ugh, I love it. She's like, that is, she's like me on a boat. Like, that's exactly what I'd be doing. I'd be like, oh my God, yes.
So Ashton and Riley are finally having their talk, and Riley's coming at this from like a different place than usual. She's like, just trying to be chill.
She's like, get it?
And she's like, have you got it? Have you?
Has it been gotten?
She's so like, they... today was really shitty for me. And then, like, in Kate's words, you were throwing me under the bus, which, you know, like, let's stick to one transportation thing at a time. That would yeah. be great.
So then Ashton does this thing where he goes, so Kate came and told you about something that I discussed with Captain Lee, which was his way of being like, I'm going to yell at Kate next.
Yes. Yes, she did do that. And you are also the one bitching about an employee to all your other employees, Mr. Professional. By the way,
yes, yes, exactly. By the way, and I kept on feeling like I was too lazy to look it up, but wasn't when Kate had the meltdown and was like throwing pants on the floor, wasn't Ashton was like yelling at her about professionalism, right? What was the thing he was yelling at? She was
Captain like that or something.
It was something where he was accusing her of not being professional or not following the rules, but he also was, I feel like he was also like crossing line. Who cares? So Riley, Riley basically says that she's like feeling dismissed by the crew and like, just take a second to think how it feels to be in my shoes, my fishing shoes for the second year. My God, it's by Nike. And like, I'm dealing with it and I've been calm and I've been quiet about it and I've been, got it. Got it.
And he's like, well, if it's the second year that this is happening to you, Riley, it might be some kind of insecurity within you. It's like, it's not insecurity. I'm trying to talk to you now. And even now, I'm not getting any support from you, even during this conversation. So it got there backwards. Figure it out.
Yeah. And he's basically like, well, maybe you need to self-reflect, because how much of this are like insecurities and how much is the rest of the crew? And I think generally, like, you know, in any situation where there's a conflict, usually it's like there, it does like two, like both sides contribute to a certain amount. And the thing that's interesting is that like, really, he gets mad at Riley because he feels like she has no accountability for her contributions to it. But he also is not taking any accountability for his and his crew's side of it. Like, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, I mean, Riley has an attitude. She for sure does, you know, but a lot of times she's not without reason. And that's what's not appreciated by these men.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Riley's just comes at it with the wrong attitude. I think that is true. She gets really defensive and
got it
at everything. And I can see how it's frustrating. But this is supposed to be her boss. And he's sitting there bitching about her with the other employees. He hated her the second right. she came on, you know. The first year, I think, was different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ross was frustrated as hell, too. It's not like, oh, just because Ashton's like a fucking horrible sexual assaulter slash sexual... what's the other sexual horrible
thing? Ross did try to make out with Riley, too.
Oh, well, that's don't true. Don't forget. But just because Ashton's been the worst doesn't mean that... Jesus
Ross
Christ.
And Riley fought, but Ross at least... He did like try to impress upon Riley that he did respect her as a person. Like he did, like they would fight, but he really tried to like build that bridge. And I think that she did ultimately respond to that. But Ashton doesn't. Ashton is just like, he said like, oh, well, you know, I've tried to teach you things and I've tried to involve you in bigger things, which is what her plan was last year, but like whatever. But in this, so Riley's like, I'm talking to you and you literally haven't even looked at me this entire conversation. Got it. And he's like, But since you've come on the boat, I've been totally tolerant towards you. She goes, what does that mean, tolerant?
It's like, with your attitude, your body language, the way you do things gives off a negative vibe. You know, the same boys have a conversation with me, you know, and then you just dismiss them. And she's like, oh, well, it's not my insecurities. It's 100% the way of the vibe on the boat. It's 100% the way of the vibe on the boat.
And so then he sticks out his... Yeah. So he sticks out his finger and goes, do not raise your voice at me. And she goes, do not point your fucking finger at me. How about that? I was like, this conversation's done. So then he says the conversation's done. So she's like, so she like stands up and starts to huff away. He goes, excuse me, I'm your superior. Did you not just dismiss me? Got it?
He's like, oh, you get back here. She's like, what the fuck do you want from me, Ashton? He's like, you were born by Captain Lee. This behavior. Don't point your finger at me. You don't give a fuck. You're right. I don't give a fuck about you. Go to bed. I'll go down to my quarters. Yeah.
Like, wow. Well, this was a good meeting, guys.
Yeah, it's good meeting. Professionalism on both sides. Great work, everyone.
We all win. Guess who wins? Humanity.
Yeah, exactly. So
I just wrote dinner ready. Kevin stepped it up. I love that Kevin is like, fuck that bitch telling me to step it up. Everything I've done is so classy. And then the first thing he does is immediately try and impress that girl. Boys.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make this food super dainty for Instagram. So he plates these beautiful plates, like resentfully. Like, normally he wouldn't play it like that, but he's doing it because he knows, like, just to prove how shallow she is, she's just going to take a photo of this for Instagram. I'm like, A, these plates look really good, and you should be always plating like this. B, you also take photos of your shit for Instagram, so I don't know why you keep on dinging her for it when we literally saw you get mad that Kate wasn't around to take the pictures for Instagram, because that's what she normally does for you.
And he's like, Justine will probably say something about Miggits being on the plate or something. And Kate's like, I think your plates are all about, like, decorating the table. There's brown beads and glass beads and flowers. And he's just like, shut up. Like, he's not paying attention to her. Because, of course, he's like nice. He's like fine to her face and makes her think that they're kind of like friendly. But he hates her guts.
Stupid bunny, you know? So, yeah. Dumb bunny. So then they serve the food. And at first, some of the guests don't like the texture, but then ultimately everyone likes it a lot. They actually all love it. So it goes really well. And then dinner's going nicely. And then Justine, the chef, does like a super zoom on Instagram of Captain Lee. And she's like, oh my God, smile, Captain Lee. And you just know he's just like, these fucking idiots. I had to sleep in the sky lounge. And then they're going to do a super zoom on my face. And I'll tell you what's going to get a super zoom. My fist into that camera if they don't stop.
And then what is happening after this? Oh my God. So they serve scallops something or other.
A pea puree.
Yeah. Ooh.
So, just in case anyone was wondering.
Bleh. So Kevin is doing he's flaming the top of a creme brulee and or fire whatevering it. And Kate comes in. She's like,
torching.
Kevin, torching, thank you. Kevin's like, or Kate goes to Kevin, they're super happy, Kevin. And he just keeps torching it.
Are you super happy? Be quiet, mommy. This is between me and daddy. Okay. I got an email from someone named Patricia who said I should say to you, hi, iceberg. Love from Auntie P.
So he just ignores her. She's like, are you super happy? And he ignores her. And she goes, yay.
So then he serves like this creme brulee, but then for someone else, he gives a deconstructed cheesecake. I don't even know what that is. Is that just milk? Like milk and egg? Well, not egg. Yeah, there is egg. Milk, egg, and cheese. I'm like, was that for the person who doesn't eat dairy? Like, I don't understand how a deconstructed cheesecake helps that situation. I just don't understand why. I don't understand if someone has a thing where they can't have creme brulee, that they can then be okay with a deconstructed cheesecake, unless they just don't like creme brulee.
Well, he served them a bunch of different things. He served them like four different things, but when it gets to deconstructed cheesecake, I mean, that is the dude. You could call Justine a douche all you want, and you're correct, but deconstructed cheesecake.
I know. Please
it's
stop.
Like douche
fight. Called cheese. Cheese and graham crackers. So then, meanwhile, Tanner and Brian are having a conversation. Tanner's like, so what do you think? I make the move on Kate tomorrow? And Braun's like, yeah, Brie, you go for it. Yeah, it's going to be legendary. I'm like, oh, you're just so disgusting. Like,
roll them dice, eh? Roll them dice. Like, he's suddenly in Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever fucked a lady to fuck with it. Luck, fuck a lady tonight. Those are the lyrics.
I wrote down Mulan cave tomorrow, so I'm glad you heard it properly. I was like, what is he even talking about? But he's saying Mulan cave. Making the move on Kate tomorrow. It's like Mulan cave sounds amazing. I'm in.
So then Kate is in. She sees Riley downstairs, and Riley's like, I was told to go to bed. And she says how Ashton tolerates her and that she needs to self-reflect because I'm insecure. I guess I don't got it after all.
And then we get some weird Riley origin story.
It was amazing.
What was it? She's like,
her origin stories are hilarious in general, right? Because I think the last one we got was that, like, the FedEx guy showed up at Christmas and her dad answered the door with a shotgun or something like that. Right?
He said he was the type of guy to answer the door with a shotgun when FedEx showed up at Christmas. And we're like, wait, is the bad part that he's walking around with a shotgun or that Christmas was FedEx on your, you know, on the day, whatever. But this one is so funny. She's like, I am who I am. My dad married my stepmom and then they started an Airbnb. And no one wants kids to be seen in an Airbnb. So we had to hide. So standing up for myself is something I'm going to do. I was like, wait a minute.
Riley was confined to rooms in a bed and breakfast in Florida. They moved from Alaska to Florida where they started up a bed and breakfast. And then she was confined to rooms because guests weren't allowed to see her. So because of that, she speaks up. Otherwise, she'll be forgotten at the imaginary bed and breakfast of her youth.
Yeah. Wow. We've heard about a lot of trauma on this show, and that,
but not B&B trauma.
Yeah, it's the first this is the first bed and breakfast drama we've heard.
You know what it is? It's like, you know when there's like horror movies and people are like, they move to a new house and there's like a groundskeeper that has creepy children who stare at you and are like, we like to play. That's like, this is what happens to those children when they grow up. They turn into Riley.
Got it. It's like this, just standing there with sickles. Got it.
Got it. Got it. So now it's like 4 in the morning. Speaking of horror movies, it's 4 in the morning. Everyone's asleep. And then all of a sudden we hear Tanner going, no! And he starts screaming in bed.
Yeah. And Brian is like, Brew, you okay? And he goes, was that you? I thought like... He says, and they bleep it out, what he says. Bleep, fucking bleep or something was running underneath and messing with the covers. Like, wow.
Yeah. Wow, Tanner. Well, basically, he was referring to a little person. But I guess I didn't realize that, you know, the previous common word that people used to throw around all the time was now actually bleepable. So I'm like, I don't know if I can say it even on the podcast now because it's bleeped out on TV. But either way... that's what he was thinking of. He thought a little person was rummaging around his covers and it was his nightmare, which is like...
Even his nightmares are just offensive. Stupid, you know? They're just like, just stupid. Stupid people, stupid dreams.
Stupid. Stupid. That's what so he was like screaming because he thought, like, if I had a dream that a little person was rummaging around like my sheets, I'd be like, hey, get out of there. Anyone rummaging around my sheets, I'd probably be like, stop, you know? But I don't think I would, like, wake up screaming bloody murder, you know?
Yeah. Oh, Tana. Of course, some of the things I have woken up terrified from are you know, stupid people, stupid dreams. It's like,
can I be?
Oh, my God, I have too many tables to wait on. What am I going to do? And I wake up like, oh!
May I be confessional for a moment? I had a dream last night that I was like, should I share this on the podcast? I don't want to because it's kind of embarrassing. But I kind of feel like this feels like fate. Like, I had a dream last night. It's like, what's like the, like, you know, like most times, like if you see someone naked in a dream, it's like a sex dream or whatever. It's like you wake up, you're like, whoa. But like, this was the exact opposite. Like, this was actually like, I felt violated by my dream because I had a dream. I can't believe I'm saying this on a podcast, but I really feel like we all get it. I had a dream that that I was somewhere and Michael Darby walked in La Towel, and I was like, oh God. And I was like, no, he's going to come to like sexually harass me. And then he like took off his towel and he had the tiniest little dick in the, like I'd ever seen. And I was like, and I woke up. It was like a sex nightmare, but it wasn't sex. Thank God. It was like a naked, you know, like when you see something in your dream, it's like, it was a dream, but now you now know what it looks like in real life. Now yeah. I know. That's terrible. It's terrible, everyone.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
I had a naked Michael Darby dream. There.
God.
That's way worse than a little person rummaging under your sheet for crying out loud.
Yeah, no kidding. Get in line, all right, Tana, with your terrifying dreams.
Yeah. So now it's the next morning, and Tana's sitting around going, like, he's just, like, still shaken up from his dream. And Captain Lee, he's, like, packing up his room, and he's like, get into yachting. It'll be fun. You'll see the world. Homeless, living out of blue bags. Ha! Ha!
We also got a shot of Captain in his undies.
Yeah.
Which now I feel like every time I see the captain, I'm going to be like, saw you in your undies.
I know. I felt like that was so mean of them to do that. I don't know why. It's like, who cares? It's underwear. But I felt like they were sort of, it felt like a schoolyard thing. Like, I see your underwear.
Yeah. Well, it's just like when you know somebody, you know, then you're like, I've seen you. Then you just see them always in their underwear, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So then Tanner is talking to Simone, and they're both cleaning the table. And he's like, if you want to do something else, I'll clean the table. She's like, no, not nervous at all. I'll clean the table by you with a walk hair.
And then there's like awkwardness with Riley and Ashton. They're like basically not talking. And Ashton wants to talk to Captain Lee. And so he goes in and talks to him. And Captain Lee's like, I feel like I've been rolled up in a bed sheet and beaten with a baseball bat. That's what I gotta say. What about you? What's going on with you? Tolerating anyone lately?
I love that someone offensive, like someone really mean, would roll you up in a sheet and then beat you with a baseball bat. It's like no cushioning at all.
It's to contain the mess.
Oh, that's good. So Lee's like, ah, so we got issues, huh, stupid. I saw your stupid model sandwich. That was funny. What was that, mayonnaise between white bread? That was good.
It was actually low sodium turkey.
So Ashton's like, same gelatinous healthy choice turkey, sir.
From a vending machine.
Well, it's the same issues with Riley as last year. I've tried, but unfortunately, her issues have affected the entire crew. Right? I would never speak to her the way she spoke to me last night. Now, would I punch a window out of a minivan? Yes. But only because the minivan said something mean about my mother. Possibly. Maybe. Or just said mother. Don't really remember.
I'd like to go into the next two charters of man down. And Captain Lee's like, well, I don't want to make a radical change. I mean, we're talking about 6 goddamn days. 6 days. I mean, the world was created in 6 days. And I'll tell you what else was created in 6 days. The Sky Lounge bedroom. God, this place is terrible.
And during this whole thing, they're showing that Riley is actually downstairs doing laundry, which is not her job. Like, they're showing Riley like going above and beyond while he's talking about getting her fired. And so the captain is like, well, if you're acting like a dick, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. But he looks really like just not happy that he's gonna have to do this, like he doesn't like it.
Right,
because usually he's very sure about it. It's like, you're fired, stupid, now get on a donkey to take you to your plane ticket.
Yeah, exactly. So now Captain Lee calls Riley up to the Sky Lounge or wherever he is, and so she goes up there and she has to have like this awkward moment where she walks by Ashton coming down the stairs. Like, clearly Ashton just tattled on Captain Lee, and like, because he's coming down from the captain's and she's going up. So they have an awkward moment on the stairs.
She literally turns away from him so she doesn't have to look at him as he passes her. It was really funny.
Yeah. So she starts telling Captain Lee that there's just a different energy with the guys, etc. And then we're cross-cutting with Tanner and Brian on the bow, like complaining about her. And Tanner's like, I don't want to call her a cancer, but it's a cancer, Brie. That's a good one. She's a cancer. All right, let's call her a cancer. She's a big cancer.
Oh, good. Meanwhile, Kevin is plating burnt pancakes. This is where that happened. So
yeah,
Riley is like, well, I mean, I do offer an opinion. And he's like, well, sometimes you offering an opinion can come off as criticizing. It's not a one-way street, right?
We,
yeah.
But listen here, we don't confront problems by running away. We deal with those problems, and I'm going to do that right now by getting different viewpoints. Right, kid? Right. Love you, kiddo. Thanks for the coffee today.
Thanks, kiddo. Thanks for not having crazy hair like that other redhead. So yeah. So Captain Lee's basically going to, like, ask everyone, like, basically get everyone's input, which is annoying because Riley is totally outnumbered. So, of course, they're all going to trash her. So it's, you know, she thinks it's going to be a witch hunt, and she's right. I mean, like, I don't know how she could really, you know, it's hard. I mean, like, she's totally, like, the only way that she could rise up out of this is if Kate basically, and as Kate later does, like, comes to her defense, you know, because she's told, like, she's going to get railroaded out of there.
Yeah. And so she's, you know, she walks off like, Jesus fucking Christ, which is all of Riley. You know, Riley ends every scene in this episode by just venting in the hallway. Like, God yeah. damn it. Jesus fucking God damn it. So, Kevin, I just keep writing down burnt pancakes. I just keep seeing it over and over.
I'm sad that I missed the burnt pancakes.
I can't believe it. So Zach is like, Zach is some douchebag.
He's the primary. Ugh. One of the primaries.
He's like, yeah. Is this real maple syrup that came from a tree? I don't care what it came from as long as it's not corn syrup.
Just ask for fucking real maple syrup and get over it, okay? We don't need to have a whole story that has to come from a tree, Mr. No Teflon, okay?
Nah, people like that are like that because they want everybody to know that they got this. Yeah. Not from a tree! It's like, yeah, you look really organic there, sir.
I know, enjoy polluting the ocean while on your yacht ride. So, although actually, to be fair, I love, like, I will almost always do real maple syrup and ask for it. If I were on a yacht, I would ask for real maple syrup. I just wouldn't be like, can I have, like, real maple syrup from, like, a tree, you know, just not corn syrup. I'd be like, do you have real maple syrup? And that'd be the end of it. And they say no, I'll be like, okay, fine, I'll take the fake stuff. Like, that's how you do it. Score plates, am I right? So then Kevin serves up some apple cinnamon muffins, and they're like, wow, Kevin's really stepping up. And he's like, I love that he's, like, stepping up again, like, resentfully. Like, well, I'll show them. I'm going to step up, and that'll show them that I can step up. I'm not going to do what they want. I'm just going to step up to prove to them that I could step up, daddy.
Daddy.
So the captain is like, all right, I'm going to question people. And now listen here, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I don't want bullshit. I want answers, all right? Ashton and Riley are going at it like bobcats in a burlap sack and a Cheerio and a Spaghetti-O bowl, all right? It's a bunch of letters not making any goddamn sense.
So now it's like Brian and Tanner, like, it's like cutting back and forth between their like depositions with Captain Lee, and Brian's like, I try to keep a professional, Brew, but she doesn't listen. Oh, my knee! Huge temper, very disrespectful, Brew.
My knee! But Tanner and Brian are both talking separately to the captain, but yeah. They keep cutting to their answers, and they're basically saying what you think they would. You know, it's just gonna build up. You know, I had my dick in this fly yesterday, and I hear Ray saying, fuck you about something. You know what I'm saying? And Brian's just like, Brew, chain of command, Brew.
And then meanwhile, up on the deck, Zach is like, did anyone else have an unidentifiable funk in their room? Like, I had to go to the bathroom because it actually smelled better. They're like, yeah, it's called Jamie. Oh, sorry, Jamie, you're right there.
And then it cuts to Tanner going, she's a cancer.
So, yeah, you like that one, Captain Lee? I just thought about it.
So then Kevin is talking to Courtney in the kitchen. He's like, well, I'd give them, but normally I'd give them bacon, whipped cream, but because I don't like them. And she goes, oh my God, you're taking this really personally. Also, sir, they're vegetarian and don't have dairy. So if you were giving them bacon and whipped cream, you would actually be doing a worse job than you're currently doing. So
yeah.
Fuck off.
Also, they're the guests. And you should serve. You should try to be doing your best because there's a tip, okay? And then you'll be upset about a low tip, all right? Don't be like that.
So he starts bitching. Yeah, he's like, yeah. Fuck her. She told me my food was shit. And then Justine, there's her face.
She's like, hi. Ooh, look at all that iceberg lettuce. How could you say that, Daddy? What?
She's like, hi. And then he sees her and he just throws down a Ziploc and stares at her or, like, ignores her. Prick.
And she's like, I just want to apologize for making you feel uncomfortable, which, first of all, she doesn't have to apologize at all because, again, she's the guest. It's a nice thing for her to do because she was being obnoxious. But, like, he's being a dick, and so she does not have to apologize, I think. Like, she basically said, we want more upscale food. And there's no reason why she has to apologize for that. And then, of course, he's like, no problem. Thank you so much. No problem. Oh, it's fine. He's once again being such a fake asshole.
Yeah, well, like, he won't look at her. He's, like, being rude to her. He's like, fine. But he won't look at her, and he's just, like, facing literally away from her. She's like, okay, then. Bye. And then Courtney says, oh, my God, he didn't even look her in the eye. Like, she's a guest, and she was seriously apologizing, but also it's common courtesy, and that was fucking rude.
So. He's like a tiny square plate, just, like, rude, and like, why are you here?
So Kate is bringing Cheerios.
Can I impose upon you for a bowl of Cheerios, Kate?
I just think it's funny when he eats Cheerios all the time, and he's like, God damn it!
Bowl of Cheerios, my ass Cheerios, yeah. Couchios, bring me a bowl of Couchios, how about that?
So they basically are like kibitzing about Riley, and Captain Lee's like, well, she's hard to get along with, sort of like Jamie, am I right, that fucking Cut Fitness, did I say it right this time? Yeah, very nice. I think Riley's lovely.
Yeah, she's like, actually, I think she's really lovely. He's like, well, she accepts no responsibility for anything. And she's like, well, the responsibility falls more on Ashton, because why have a bosun if he's not going to manage his team? And then she tells us, oh, Ashton, you want to play the game where we talk about each other to the captain? You started it.
That's true, because he did complain about Kate earlier this season, I think, right? I can't remember. Everything sort of flows together, and after watching that, like, 100th episode reunion special, it's hard to remember. Oh, by the way, that was what we talked about that on our bonus episode for like half an hour. So go listen to that. Yeah, in case you're wondering.
I think that Kevin talked to the captain about her, but I don't know. Maybe I just wrote it down wrong, and she was saying, you want to play the game where we talk about each other's jobs to other people or something like that?
Yeah, Kevin did. Yeah.
So she's like, Ashton's being a dick. She actually says that to the captain. She's like, Ashton's being a dick. Ego dripping, power hungry, dick.
Yeah. Yeah, and basically she's like, being the department head means you have to find ways to have your team work together. You know, for instance, you've seen the way all my students always work so well together over the years. You know, that's what being a department head's all about.
Yeah. So Tanner and Brew are talking about how great Ashton is for being so patient with Riley, you know? And then Brian, I think, says it all. He goes, more patient than I would have been. I've said it since day one. She's going to be a problem, and she is. Well, there you have it.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, that means you didn't give her a shot. You thought she was going to be a problem, and then self-fulfilling prophecy. You know how that works, Brian? There you go.
Yeah, so the anchor pulls up, and Kate is ironing, and Ashton comes in, and she's like, how was your morning? Stupid.
How's your morning, Mr. Funkaverse? Yeah, that's what you look like. So Ashton's like, well, there's a lot to be thought about. The situation was aggravated by information that Riley didn't need to have, you know? She goes, oh, what information would that be? I'm being facetious right now. Can you tell? I got my facetious face on.
What I mentioned about the fishing trip to the captain, and then Riley's passing by, and he's like,
oh, you ever wonder what some low sodium turkey sounds like when it coughs? There it was.
So what about it, Ashton? He's like, so you think it's right of you to get involved in the management of my team? She's like, I think that you shouldn't say anything in the presence of another crew member that you wouldn't repeat. That was the ironing, but also hiss at you, stupid. You're stupid. Like, really, I'd kind of expect privacy amongst us three. She's like, oh, you were wrong.
But you're wrong. You don't get any quote-unquote privacy. So Ashton's like, the rules don't apply to Kate. That's my problem. And then we see like a montage of Kate just like talking back to everyone on the boats over the years. Like just, it's like her yelling at Ben, her yelling at Kevin earlier. You know, I think that was the point of the montage. I actually wasn't totally sure what they were keying us up for. But I was just like, I don't care. I really enjoy this montage. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what that was either.
I guess because then Ashton says, you know, when you're speaking to Kate, there's like one point and it's her point. Like, it's her way or the highway. Oh. I guess that's what the montage was supposed to be.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was funny. It was like a golden moments of Kate. I mean, I guess it just depends on how you view the show, you know.
I was like, that was so nice of them to put in a Kate appreciation montage right in the middle of this. That was lovely.
I was like, God, Kate's telling so much she's stupid. God, this is a fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah, she's like, no, that was supposed to support my point. So he's like, I understand how to manage my team. And Kate goes, I don't think you do. You're just going to fire Riley. That's not managing. That's just quitting.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I would like you to apologize because I don't think it's right for you to get involved in the management of my team. She goes, well, feel free to repeat anything I say out loud because I have no secrets about the operation of this boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ashton doesn't realize that, like, Kate could have him fired for what he did, like, two episodes ago. Like, he should be so thankful right now. And, like, first of all, like, he's tried to kiss all the girls, it feels like, on the boat. He caused the crew, he violated Captain Lee's thing, which is, like, don't embarrass the boat, when he got wasted at that resort and cannonballed and destroyed the DJ's equipment and rang up, like, charges for basically for himself that he took on. And then he tried to kiss Kate again and then got violent right in front of her, like fireable offenses,
like went for her, tried to crawl back to the back seat to violent, like, yes, to get at her. I mean, my God. Yeah. So when he, and also he loses his calm every single time, which is why she always wins fights with people on this show.
Yes.
You know, it's like everyone else, she lost it when she threw all the clothes on the ground or whatever, and she still didn't get in trouble because everyone else acted dumber, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you still ran off screaming and yelling after that. Like, you could have won, but you act like such an idiot. So she stays so calm, and he loses his temper again. He's like, well, you have no taste in talking to other people either. She's like, okay. And she just keeps ironing like he was never there. And he goes, fucking bitch.
Meanwhile, like, Simone's like knocking from the inside of the dryer. Could someone let me out, please?
I'm done with the bathroom.
Has anyone noticed that I haven't been in the entire second half of the episode? Someone let me out.
I was trying to give water to the dryer.
So now everyone's leaving. Goodbye, goodbye. And then Zach, the guy who only wants maple syrup, he's like all sweaty and disgusting. He's like, hey, look us up if you're ever in Charleston. They're like, sure.
I'll be sure to, buddy.
Yeah. Captain Lee's like, I think I'll be staying with Patricia. Thank you very much.
And Justine hugs Kevin, but before she goes up to him, she's like, oh my God, he hates me. Which, who cares? He works for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's like not the vibe that you should be giving out. You know, it's terrible. So then they all leave. And then Courtney goes into Brian's room and goes, Brian, Courtney, kiss. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like all cute and it's going to all fall apart next week. So sad.
Yeah. Brian calls his daughter and promises to take her to Splash next week.
Whatever that is.
And he's like, I love my daughter, you know, but I'm thinking now, what's going to happen with me and Courtney? What's going to happen with me and Courtney?
Mm-hmm. That's typical trajectory. So now Ashton's with Tanner, and he's saying how Kate has been pushing his buttons, and Tanner's like, yeah, that doesn't help anything at all. Not at all. I'm going to try to fuck her tomorrow, though. That's for sure.
And Kate and Riley are talking, and Kate's telling Riley about Ashton, you know. She's like, well, he said he wants to fire you. And I was like, and she goes, fire me for what? Really? This is our leader. Instead of bringing me up or helping me, he would prefer me to be fired. If I got fired for this, my career would be in jeopardy. So where do I go from here? I'm like, well,
back to the B&B.
The what?
The B&B. Go back to the B&B.
The B&B. She's like, I'm totally offering a free breakfast to anybody who doesn't fire me, and you will totally not know who brought it to you because I will never leave my room. Okay, thanks.
I once went to a B&B. I stayed at a B&B, and I didn't realize. I thought B&B, you just go and you like, it's like a hotel, like you just have a room, you know. But I didn't realize like I was expected at breakfast, and the host got so mad at me. Like, a B&B would be perfect for Riley. She's like, hello, it's breakfast time. I made breakfast. Are you gonna come down here or what? Got it.
Yeah, that's, I'm never staying in that. No.
Also, random shout out, because there was like a shot of Riley like walking around, and I think it was his name Darian. I think his name is Darian, right? The engineer who fixed the vent the other day. I was like, it was like random Darian in the background. I was like, oh my God, he got a free, like, they never show them. They never show like the engineer and the chief mate or whatever they're called. I was like, wow, Darian, there he is.
Darian's really making it this year.
He's really got a lot of screen time.
Yeah, ever since he fixed that air vent, he's like the hero.
Much better than that one time. There was that one like chief engineer who, remember when like Kate was on like the tender and she's like, are you getting on the tender? Are you getting on? And he's like, was put his foot on it and like the tender was floating away and he's gonna fall in the water or something. He was just being like an, I forget what it was, but he was like an asshole and then we never saw him again. He was like, he got sick and had to be replaced.
Yeah. So the tip meeting, they ended up leaving 17,700. He's like, I thought that was appropriate.
Huh? Yeah. And I'm not pleased with the exterior. I'm not sure yet how I'm going to address it, but you can't kick shit down the road and think it's going to go away because it don't. That's what happens when you put shit in a burlap bag with some bobcats. Shit gets everywhere. Okay.
And you can take that to the bank. Now this deck crew is behaving like a bunch of little fucking kids. And fortunately for them, I don't babysit.
His favorite captain thing to say.
I don't babysit.
Yeah. He's like, well, this decision's going to closely resemble a clusterfuck. I'll guarantee you that. The bank. Spaghetti old bobcat fighting in an orange sack. Right?
And that was that. So that I guess next week we'll see how it all shakes out with Riley. I mean, I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't think he's going to fire Riley, but he might.
I think she's out. She's out. Because when he came to our live show, came out as a guest on that show in Fort Lauderdale, his hometown, we asked him if there was going to be a plane ticket. And he's like, I can't say. Yeah, there's going to be a plane ticket. And I don't think that there has been one yet, right?
Well, I mean, Abby...
Was that before that?
I think Abby was still on the show at that point.
Oh, dang it. I was counting on that. The good thing about having a terrible memory is that I'm always surprised by everything, you know? But, damn it. Okay, maybe he was talking about Abby. Well, not damn it, because I like Riley, but we'll see. Yeah. It looks like she's getting fired, but these previews are tricky.
I think that she probably will be because I think that like it's, she does. I mean, the guys, it is such a boys club and they are obnoxious to her. But I think that ultimately, like if you have like three people being like, listen, she does not take direction and she blows up the moment you try to teach her something. She doesn't do this, that. I mean, there's she has a hard case to go to win against. So I think she's going to go.
Yeah, we'll see next week, everybody. If you want to hear us talking about the Below Deck reunion on Watch What Happens Live, you can go check out our bonus. We're also going to be doing a couple new Crappens on Demand videos this week, which will be super fun. We're doing the Vanderpump Rules premiere tomorrow, and then we'll be doing Real Housewives of Jersey later. Go get live show tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com and find the links to vote for the Crappy Awards, everybody. We love you guys.
Yeah, we do. We'll talk to you tomorrow with some Vanderpump Rules.
Bye.
Bye.